This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. You know, one of the funnest things that I enjoy talking about is like Bravolebrity fashion. There's good and there's like really bad. I've always thought if I could just catch up on life over here behind the velvet rope, I would have like a fashion person on and we would do like a mini fashion police every time there was a reunion. I mean, we kind of do that with Sarah and by ourselves, but I would like to make it more formal. But anyway, we had on fashion icon David Meister, who has worked with all the housewives, Lisa Rinna. We had him on and we talked about housewife fashion, Rinna, fashion police, best and worst dress in Hollywood. Such just like a fun chat. This originally aired March 5th of 2021, over 3 years ago. Wow. But I love David Meister and I also love breaking down housewife fashion. Look, we rag on Giselle for being like the worst dress, but there are so many more that are in that category that surpass her. And Rinna is taking a lot of fashion risks lately. So sit back and enjoy this fun chat with the one and only Mr. David Meister. Hey, everyone. This is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined from 3,000 miles away by the one and only Mr. David Meister. Hello.
Hello there. I'm not used to hearing myself called Mr.
Listen, this is how it works here behind the velvet rope. We start out formal and then, you know, by the time I'm done with this cup of coffee, we'll just be saying whatever comes to our minds.
We're ready to bang down the shots. Okay.
Seriously. Now, you are 3,000 miles away, right? Are you in LA or am I just making that up?
I am in LA. I am in Los Angeles and it is a beautiful sunny day.
And what is going on there? You guys are still like inside, right? Like isn't LA just on total lockdown?
It's bad here in Los Angeles. I mean, it's really the worst place right now in the country, but the hospitals are backed up. They're saying, they were saying 1 in 10 in LA County will have had or get COVID. Now they're saying 1 in every 5.
Oh my God.
So we are kind of just sequestering away, which I'm not good at.
You're not?
I'm not a sequesterer.
Even with like, I mean, you know what it is? Okay, let me rephrase that. If I didn't have this show that I put out every day, I wouldn't be good at it either. Like, this job has kept me sane, honestly.
I mean, my partner and I, it's fine. We get along great. We're here at home all the time. But I'm a person, and he's in the entertainment business. And so we used to be out all the time. I am someone who likes to get dressed and go out at least 5 nights a week. And I have been known to dance on tables. And I haven't danced, period, much less on a table. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, bring it back. And if I wear one more pair of sweatpants, I may just either vomit or jump.
Honey, everyone had their money bet against me. I was out 7 nights a week. I am a single girl in the heart of New York City, and I used to, my life, I was out 7 nights a week.
And you should be.
Yeah. I mean, so people literally, in the beginning of this whole thing, over a year ago, all the people I know were like, how are you going to be able to do this? I'm like, well, I'm not an idiot. I'm not like a moron. It's a global pandemic. I will stay home. But people were literally like, I was the one that everyone was concerned with. They're like, this is, I'm like, yeah. Like in the beginning, it was like night and day. I didn't understand. Besides the fact that the world was falling apart, I'm like, just the fact that I can't go out every night was hard.
I would be happy with once a week even now. It's like, will we remember how to go out? I don't know.
No, that's my honesty.
Like we're going to have to re-social. I don't know. It's just so, it's, how can I say anything I want?
You could say anything and you could swear. There's no.
Okay.
There's,
it is just a fucking shit show.
Kind of. Remember when this started and you were like, all right, so like March is shit and I'll see you like April 15th. Remember that?
Well, we have a place in Palm Springs. So we thought when LA shut down, we're just going to go and live out there. So the first month or two, we thought, oh, it'll be done in a month or two. And it was great. But we stayed out there from March through October. And then we started doing construction. So then we were back here in LA. But it's much easier. It was much easier in Palm Springs because it's just so beautiful. It's more spread out. It's just easier.
That's why everyone from New York went to the Hamptons, or now everyone's in Florida. Yeah. Literally all of New York City is in Florida. And I thought of it. It's just, I don't drive. And so like, it's just every time I think I'm going to pick up and leave for like, okay, the 6 months, I mean, I wouldn't go back and forth. It would just be like, I'm leaving now for 6 months. I'm just right. Like, I'm so busy. And like, is my life going to be any easier down there? I don't know. But
not
Florida,
if you don't drive, no.
That's the thing. It's not. And like New York is still New York. You can get your Indian food at 4 a.m. and your Chinese at 3 a.m. And so you're still like, there's no restaurants open, but they're open for delivery.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. I love New York. I mean, I lived there for 8 years. We talk about moving back part-time. I love
really?
New York.
I think splitting your time between New York and LA is the golden ticket. That's it. I would love to do that.
To me, it's the only... Those are probably the only two places in the country that I would live. I love New York. I love LA.
Me too. That's what
That's
I would do.
Kind of the best of both.
Now, where are you from originally? I mean, I know you're not from LA.
No, I am from Cincinnati, Ohio. I grew up in the suburbs of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Why do you say it like that with a huge smile on your face? You're like waiting for me to say something.
I am sort of like, you know, I am Midwestern white bread. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. But I just grew up in the suburbs of the middle of the country. Great childhood, great place to grow up. But I knew when I was 4 that I was leaving.
You did.
Oh, yeah. I remember the day I was in the living room and my parents were having guests over. And I was just sitting there looking around thinking, I think I have to get out of here.
I get it.
And they got it, too. I mean, my parents are amazing. But it's like, this isn't going to work.
I think a lot of people who end up in like New York or L.A., have a similar story where they just knew they were destined for one of these cities.
Something, because it's like, if you're bored at four sitting in a room of adults, you know, come on. It's like, even at four, I want to be, let's pick this up. I'm getting a little bored.
I've been to Cincinnati once, I think. I mean, I was definitely there, but yeah, it is beautiful.
Beautiful city. I think it's the prettiest city in Ohio. And, you know, like I said, where I grew up was beautiful and I had great education and I love going back to visit, but it's just not for me.
I get it. Especially if you realize that at 4 years old.
Yeah, I realized that at four.
When did you realize, if you realized that at four, what about fashion? Like, was it always fashion? Like, when did you realize you were destined for a career in fashion?
You know, I, as a child, believe it or not, had a very big mouth and was very opinionated. And I was always into, like, what I was wearing and my mom, she was never really, she liked beautiful clothes and nice things, but she would do it, but she didn't love, was not a fashionista. Like, you know, you have nice clothes, you get dressed, you go, but she certainly wasn't like crazy about it. But I don't know. I would always say, oh, you're going to wear that? Or my dad, I might be, ooh, that tie. And when I was about 6 or 7, I was in a bookstore and I found W, which was the sister publication to Women's Wear Daily. Yeah. And that's when it was still the full color spread. And I brought it home and I was obsessed. And my mom was like, you know, she subscribed to it for me. And then it's like, I started getting into any fashion magazines I could. But what really kind of started it for sure was when Sonny and Cher had their show, their summer mid-season replacement, because I had never seen anything like that. I don't think anyone had seen anything like her at the time. And I was like, holy shit. I'm like, wow. It's like, first of all, look at these clothes. Look at that body.
It's sandal season. Look, everyone always gets excited for sandal season. The weather is warmer, but I wear sandals year round. And now you can too, thanks to Crocs. With the new Crocs style sandals, you can embrace those feel good summer vibes all year long. I love Crocs sandals, not just because they're stylish, but because they're so comfortable. And when I'm comfortable, I feel I can do anything. They have new Miami sandals and Brooklyn sandals, but my absolute favorite are their getaway sandals. They are so soft, light, and thin. It literally feels like I don't have any shoes on at all. There's a cushiony, soft footbed, and it honestly feels like I'm walking on clouds. Style-wise, they go with anything and everything, and I can wear them anywhere, no matter how casual or a more formal event. You have to check out the Getaway Sandals, and all of their sandals come in such a variety of colors, so you can match with any outfit. Right now, get 20% off your next purchase at crocs.com. Just use the code SANDALS20 at checkout. That's SANDALS20 at crocs.com for 20% off your purchase.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
You know, I put my hair through the wringer over the years. It's been every color possible. My hair has been fried and damaged. I was looking for a product that smelled good and was high-end and luxurious, but also that was good and wouldn't damage my hair further. That's when I discovered LolaVie. And I should say thank you, Jennifer Aniston. LolaVie is Jennifer Aniston's hair products, where you no longer have to choose between ones that work and ones that are actually good for you. I love using LolaVie's new sculpting paste. It's a medium-hold, lightweight styling and pomade. I used to use all these gels and it never held my hair in place. This sculpting paste helps me hold my hair in place with such flexibility and it looks so natural. So unlock Jennifer Aniston's approved hair care at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code VELVET at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code VELVET. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Your hair will thank you.
And then for some reason, I watched and it said Cher's Gowns by Bob Mackie. And I'm like, somebody does this. And I think that's what really started it. But to throw a whole other caveat into that, then once I started high school, I was either going to be a brain surgeon or a fashion designer.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were good in like science and all that?
I actually, I was a really good student, period, overall. It was very easy for me in school. And I don't know why I always found that fascinating. I think if plastic surgery was a thing back then when I was, that I think would have been a, because it's very creative, like fashion, and you can only teach so much, but then the rest you have to feel. It's artistry.
Yeah, it
and
is.
So, but no, then I, you know, it pretty much was fashion. And by the time I graduated high school, it definitely was fashion. I don't know that I would have been a great brain surgeon, maybe, but.
I get it. I'm a corporate tax lawyer who doesn't practice anymore. So I get all about having different sides of our brains.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't get that. They're like, what? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, like I me too. I could have had a whole different life, but here we are. So it really was Cher. Cher kind of set you on this
Cher,
track.
Really? That's when I realized, like, I would always be looking at fashion and I was into colors and making stuff. But when I saw that, like, that was like a whole new fresh look of sexy, modern, glamour. And it's like, that's what really was okay.
Have you ever met Cher? Sorry to interrupt.
Do you know what? I have not. And she is probably, and Alan Siegel, who's my husband, you know, he's a producer and has an entertainment company, but she's one of the few people I haven't met. And she's probably one of the few I still would like to meet because I think she's interesting from so many levels. I think, and she's had like a number one hit for every decade since the 60s. And any woman who can stay relevant in the music business and the film business, and she's in her 70s now, that's smart. That takes a whole other, and you're still an icon. I mean, not many people can hold on. And so I think just in terms of whatever her philosophy was, I think it's fascinating. And the fashion part, of course, I love. I love the early Cher fashion more than now when she was like the Glamazon glitter bug. I mean, she would that, some of the stuff she used to wear, it's flawless.
I've not, from like a backstage point of view, I met Cher 4 times just because I went to Vegas and did the meet and greet. And like, I'm not one to get starstruck. I mean, I was at one point, not now, just because of what I do. And I speak to everyone. But I mean, sometime like in the third meeting, I lost it. Like I met her once, twice. And then the third time I just like broke down crying.
Starstruck. And I mean, me too being here. And I've met and know so many celebrities and I'm not starstruck, but I could lose my shit around her probably. I mean, it might be a blubbery moment.
I mean, she's worth it, right?
I mean, it's like, I don't know if I would bow. I don't know. Maybe I'd kiss her ring. I'm not quite sure.
And it's like, to me, it's like, I don't care if you're standing there on the stage in Vegas and you're lip syncing, you're still moving. You still have the costumes and you're Cher and you're 70 something. So the fact that you want to lip sync, by all means, go ahead.
You know, do you know how grueling doing those tours? I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. So she's always been, yeah, kind of my like goddess icon.
Did you see the Cher show when it was on Broadway?
I did.
So those costs, I mean, those were great costumes.
Those were really good. I think though, but those were kind of redos of what she had actually done and worn.
Yeah.
And to me, what she had done and worn, it always looked better on her.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Vegas show? Because the costumes were
pretty. I've seen, trust me. I've been to so many, I've been to many, many Cher concerts.
She's still, you know.
I mean, yes. And I will, this amuses me, it may not amuse you. I did not go to my junior prom because it was a choice between junior prom or seeing Diana Ross. And come on. Any good gay card carrying, you know what I'm saying? It's Diana Ross, right?
I was going to say, like, did you realize you were gay at this point when you were skipping your prom and going to
Diana Ross? I was kind of, I don't know that I had it figured out. Kind of. You know what I mean? I didn't have the act together. But all I knew is prom or Diana Ross, I'm going to go for the sure bet.
Diana's a good one, too.
You know? I mean, come on.
Is Cher, like, out of everyone, like, you haven't dressed, like, would she be, like, who are, like, was she at the top of the list?
Would I love to dress her? Yes. Who do I, else would I say? Like, Zoe Kravitz, I think, is amazing. Like, she is so young and cool. I think, I still would love to dress Angelina.
That's a good one.
She's a good one. And it depends, you know. Who else would I really love to dress? There's so many different people who I think are so cool and great. I think Jennifer Aniston's very cool and modern, a whole different kind of take. But, you know, I was so psyched. The person I'd wanted to dress for a long time, too, was Jane Fonda. And that happened several years. And to me, it's like, it's not about an age. It's about the vibe of someone and their energy and, you know, what kind of works for them. I don't think it's about everyone needing to be 22 and whatever, because I was thrilled when Jane Fonda, and she, one of the gowns I did for her, she actually loved so much because it was so comfortable. She actually wore it 3 times.
Wow.
On red carpets. But to me, she's like, I don't want to misquote. I think she's 80. Or early. But
she's definitely in her 80s. That I'm positive of. Yeah.
She's sexy. Sexy and hot and whatever is not about being young. It's about an energy and a spirit and how you carry yourself. And it's a whole thing. It's your mind. It's your, but I always said, I think she's hot. She actually used to be my neighbor.
Really?
Yeah.
So she was on your list for all those years before you dressed
her? I would say, once like Grace and Frankie started, that's probably about 8 years ago, because she kind of wasn't doing a lot, and then all of a sudden she was bam, back big. And it's like, whoa, girl. You know? And she's beautiful, and she wears clothes beautifully. Well, she started as a model. And she gets it. She knows how to wear clothes. So, and I do like to also show, because a lot of people, when you're a designer or do red carpet stuff, people say, oh, but you got to be young and thin and you got to be this and that. And I was like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I mean, I dressed Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah is beautiful. She's not a size 2, but she looks amazing. She's in great shape. I think it's a lot of it comes from inside. You take care of yourself, and it's an energy and a vibe, and you know what works on you.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So when we started, you also said that you lived in New York. So when did you live in New York? Like, you knew fashion, Cher, that was your inspiration. You went to school for fashion, graduated, and then came right to New York? Or am I just making that up?
No, I moved to New York after college, and I was there for about 8.5 years. I moved there probably 1985. And then I moved to Los Angeles in the early 90s, and I've been here ever since.
when you got to New York, were you like, oh, you know, like many people do, were you like, okay, this is my home, like my people, thank God, hallelujah.
Well, luckily for me, the program I was in at the University of Cincinnati, it was a 5-year program, and you'd be in class for 3 months and you'd do an internship in New York for 3 months. And so by the time I graduated, I had worked in New York 5 times.
Wow.
So I already had the vibe down and knew it was ready. And a lot of my classmates were going back. So yes, we jumped in very easily and very quickly. And we had a blast.
Did you, just because you say 1985, New York, and then I think of all sorts of things. Like, did you know anyone that like we might know today? Like, you know, you hear about like Madonna and Basquiat and Keith Haring, they were all hanging out, and Debbie Mazar and any of
no,
that?
No, I've been at several parties with Andy Warhol and like Cornelia Guest. But otherwise I really didn't. I mean, I was always at all the great clubs and the openings and because you always found a way in.
Yeah.
You always found a way to get behind the rope.
Well, you're behind the rope today. You're behind the velvet rope. But sweetie, being at parties with Andy Warhol, like, I mean, whether you spoke to him or not, like that ain't nothing to sneeze at.
No, I had a very good time and I think New York is a great time when you're starting out because everybody's broke.
Yeah.
And if you're industrious and clever, there's always great stuff going on and you just have to be a little clever, but you can end up in a lot of good places.
Yeah, you actually could. You could, or at least yes. Yes and yes. You know, there's something charming about that, starting out in New York and broke and charming to places.
Well, I still tell people, I think if you're in fashion, I think you should go to New York to start your career. I still think that is the training and the hub. It's good. I still tell people that. And then you can go wherever you want, but I think those 8 years in New York were really important, both, you know, for growing up and just living in a great city and, you know, learning knowledge for my career.
Anyone out there who's ever hired for their business knows what I'm talking about when I say, how great does it feel when you actually fill a job and close out a job search? But what if I told you can get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that has a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. Before I had Indeed, when I used to hire for this podcast, it was so grueling. I had to go through so many unqualified candidates. It wasted hours. I also have ditched the busy work and I've used Indeed for this business for scheduling, screening, messaging, and the people that I've hired to help me work on this podcast, editors, PR, marketing, transcribers, they're all really qualified. Do you know that in the time I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed? And get this, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/velvet. Just go to Indeed.com/velvet right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/velvet. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And you worked at Danskin during that time.
I worked at Danskin. I worked at Macy's corporate doing like a line of their private label cocktail dresses. And what really got me to Los Angeles was there was a company called Laundry by Shelley Siegel. And it was very hot company at the time. And they were looking to start an evening wear line. And, you know, I flew out and interviewed and I got the position and that's what got me out here.
And how do you go from that to then having your own line, which is featured in Bergdorf and Neiman's and Saks? And
well, I would say it's a lot of hard work and it's also luck. I stayed at Laundry for about 6.5 years, 7 years. And the woman who was the vice president of sales really was into evening wear and she had left the company. And we stayed in touch and she always said, one day we're gonna do something together. And I was like, okay. And then about 6.5 years, or no, about 3 years later, she called me and said, are you ready? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, are you ready to start your own line? And I'm like, okay. And so then I joined Kelwood, and I was with them for like over 15 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, it is, it's hard work, it's talent, it's timing, it's like anything in life. Everything has to come together at the right time, and you just got it. I always say you never say no to any opportunity because you don't know what's going to happen.
I agree with that.
Go through it. The worst that can happen is something doesn't work. But I always, and I still believe that, if someone wants to have a meeting and I might think, oh, for what? You never know what that might lead to. I always say never say no.
I completely agree. I agree with that so much that one of my New Year's resolutions was to say no. In a business setting. And I mean, I also never say no. I think people are, just in life in general, you never know. You talk to person A, and it has happened on this podcast too, where I've had someone on that, you know, like, look, where there's a hierarchy and everything in life. And you're like, okay, like this person, I'll talk to them. And then you're like, wait, you're best friends with Jane Fonda. I mean, I'm just using that as an example. Right, right. You're like, wait, she's going to come on my podcast now. And then it actually really happens. And you're like, holy fuck, thank God I talked to this person. And we totally
you don't know.
Just never know. I really agree with that. That like things happen by just living and saying yes to everything. I'm in business. I'm a huge proponent of that.
No, absolutely. Now, a blind date with someone, that might be a no. But
that might be a no. Yes.
That can be a no. But as far as things and meeting new people and opportunities, I always say yes. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to learn, who you're going to meet. And if nothing else, you're just hanging out with somebody for half an hour, having a coffee or something. And so I always tell people that.
Me too.
Don't say no.
Me too. I think it's just a certain personality type. I mean, I have it. Like, I'm just like a networker. I'm like it's not even like sales is such a negative connotation, but I'm always just like, you keep every door open. You know, if someone screws you over, then fine. Like, fuck you.
No, then it slams.
Yeah, then it slams. But until that happens, like, you know, just you never know where the great opportunity is going to come from.
I could not agree more. And if a big opportunity comes, you got to be ready because they don't come again sometimes. So just grab it and run. And like I would say, what is the worst that can happen? It doesn't work out.
Totally.
And that's it.
And big opportunities don't wait. Like, sweetie, like, you're the first choice. Like, get your ego out of the way because there's 17 other choices. So.
Shut up, smile, say thank you, and yes.
Totally. And if you don't, like, no offense, we wanted you, but our second option is starting tomorrow. There
no,
you go.
No. You know? Got to be quick on the uptake. I don't want to be left behind as roadkill.
Me too. And that's how I've always done business, like, whatever career I've had, and it's worked out.
Yeah.
What about, how did you, so I mean, like, you were in Elegant Evening Wear, how did you get into bridal?
It was sort of a natural extension from, you know, cocktail dresses, evening wear, and then someone approached us to do a bridal line as a license. And actually, I love bridal because I'm not a big fan of real traditional bridal, but I still love bridal. And we did that for 2 seasons, but unfortunately the partner in that license, I can't say a lot about it. I would just say it just didn't work. I can't legally say a lot, but it didn't work. It was not good. And not to say I won't do it again, but I do love doing bridal.
How do you feel about, you know, like, Christine from Selling Sunset, you probably don't watch Selling Sunset, one of the best reality shows that ever existed. She wore a black dress on her wedding day. How do you feel about, like, because you say you're non-traditional, do you feel the same with color, or you can wear any color?
I saw that. I think you should do whatever makes you happy. I personally don't love the idea of a black wedding gown. You know, I like color. I like pink. You know, I knew someone who got married in red on New Year's Eve because red was her fiance's favorite color. I think there's a million cool things you can do. I just think black, I don't know. For me, I wouldn't do it, but if that makes someone else happy and they look great and enjoy it, I would say do it. My favorite bridal gown I think I ever saw was years ago in an Italian Vogue magazine, and it was very simple, long sleeve gown. And in the front, it was beaded in white, but when you turned around, the back and the train was all beaded black.
Ooh.
That, I thought, was killer.
I like that.
Because it's like, you know, you get like, okay, beautiful, she's walking in, and then all of a sudden, when you see her back, it's like, it's backless and with a train, and it's all beaded black.
Yeah, that's
like
nice.
That. Like, because I also think bridal gowns have to have like a drama moment, and it's got to look great from the front and great from the back.
I like that. So, yeah. Okay, so no black. I get it. I mean, you know, we love Christine, but I get it. Black may not be the first choice for most people's wedding. What about, because you've done it all in fashion, like, is there a part of the business you like the best? Is there a part of business you like the least? Like, do you not like the business aspect of fashion? You know, like a lot of creative people aren't into the business aspect of their careers.
I'm kind of unique in that way. I am very business and number minded.
Me too.
So I love the business part of it. And actually, a good friend of mine, she actually was the head of laundry. And you know the label Vince? She actually started Vince.
Oh, wow.
Company, Rhea. And I'm still really good friends with her. And she is a genius. And I learned so much about the business end also. So I love the numbers end and the business end because fashion is a business. And if something doesn't sell, it doesn't matter if you love, love, love it. It can still be beautiful, but in this business, it doesn't mean anything. So I think it's very important to be aware of what the numbers are and what works and what doesn't and what you need to do to tweak it. And when I was part of a huge corporation, I mean, we used to have finance meetings and planning and three-year plans and all the time. So I actually really love that part of the business as well, because it's creative thinking too, like juggling numbers to get to the number everyone tells you got to be at. Like, how do we juggle? I mean, it's, to me, design and most analytical things, it's like
what do Lala, Kent, and Bubbly Sparkling Water have in common? They're both growing their families. That's right. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, the sparkling water that brings such a smile to your face, the sparkling water that I drank for all these countless hours of Housewives that I watch, now is introducing Bubbly Burst. Of course, as always, there's zero added sugar. It's low calorie. It's a sparkling water beverage with extra fruit flavor. What could be better? Bubbly Burst. It's bursting with fruit flavor. And just like choosing your favorite housewife or franchise, choosing a favorite flavor is so hard. They have peach mango, triple berry, cherry lemonade, watermelon lime, pineapple tangerine, and tropical punch. Oh my God, it tastes so good. But don't take my word for it. Find Bubbly Burst in a store near you.
It's a problem or a challenge. Design. How are you going to solve this problem? How are you going to make this woman look great? Numbers. How are we going to get to this number? It's creative thinking.
That makes sense. I personally love the numbers aspect of my creative business now too. Me too. Well, I mean, I was an accountant. Like, that's how I ended up in corporate tax. It's fun.
And for me, I can do it in my head, the numbers. I'm like, okay, yeah, done. But no, a lot of creative people have no skill set in numbers.
I know.
That always scares. I mean, I understand that. Because there's some practices like, you know, a fine artist, and there are certain disciplines that it's not really about a bottom line business. But I do think it's a big asset if you do understand, because it is a business. You know, I had a professor years ago in college, and she used to say too, you are not a success until the cash register rings.
Yeah.
And in fashion, she's kind of right.
I mean, I just think that's the thing with a lot of creative people. Like, they're geniuses and phenomenal at what they do, but you're like, it's a business, sweetie. Like, stay in bed otherwise.
I mean,
I mean, really, why?
I mean, sometimes, you know, you design something, it's like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful dress. It is so fabulous. And you're like beside yourself. And it is a dog. It doesn't sell. You're paying markdown out the wazoo. And it's like, but it's beautiful. And then you'll have the dress that you really didn't really like that much. And all it does is reorder. And you thank God for the reorders and you keep moving. But it's like, sometimes there's just no explaining.
I get
but
it.
But you learn. If that backless orange dress was a dog, we probably aren't going to go try backless orange again.
Right.
So it's, I think it's the learn, you just learn and you keep building. And the more you learn, the more you can refine and cultivate who your customer is.
That makes sense. What about, because a lot of people, you know, you've dressed them all, you've been on every carpet. Like, how important is the relationship between like designer and celebrity, and like, has that changed? Like, how has that changed over the years?
I think, you know, it's very important. It's still, well, in this pandemic, it's, everything's changed, but the amount of press and coverage that you get with a celebrity on the red carpet, if they say your name, is huge. You know, years ago they used to say, if a celebrity says your name on the Oscar red carpet three times, that's worth over $40 million in marketing. So it's huge. And I think it used to be more designer, celebrity, sometimes more direct. Then with the stylists are very important because they now are sort of the middle person between the designer and the celebrity. And some celebrities like to work directly with the designer. Some work through their stylist, and everybody works a little differently, but I still think it's very important because it is about being out there and being known and becoming known and building your business. And it's like a mutual, you know, relationship, you know, that the celebrity or actress, you know, she gets to wear a dress that she loves and looks great in, and you get publicity. So it's sort of a win-win.
Is that true? Like, do you believe that's true about like the Oscars? Like, it's $40 million in advertising.
Oh, I do believe, when you think about, that's one of the very few televised shows that is live, that airs globally at the same time, everywhere in the world. So the whole world, if whoever's watching the Oscars is watching it at the same moment, I do believe it's worth that.
Wow.
I do. And that's why some people pay people, you know, there have been some actresses that are paid before they get out of the car a couple million bucks. You know, so-and-so may have paid them like $1 million or $2 million to wear the jewelry, and someone might have paid them $2 million to wear the dress. I mean, it's a huge business now. It's become more and more of even a business.
Right.
Which makes it hard to compete because most companies, unless you're a huge part of a conglomerate, you don't have that kind of money to spend.
Right. And is that really prevalent? And then is that, you know, like, would you take like someone, I don't know, someone that has endless amounts of money? I mean, $2 million is still $2 million. You know, like, I mean, are actresses willing to play? You know, like, you take a J-Lo, and I mean, is she like, I'll wear whatever the fuck I want. I don't give a shit how much money you're going to pay me.
I think it depends on the moment and the whatever, but it, you know, there are even agents for brokering these deals now. And
wow.
You know, and I kind of say this, and I understand it. I mean, let's just say you can have designer A. I'm not going to name name. Like, designer A, famous designer, beautiful gown, looks great on you. Designer B, fabulous gown, beautiful, looks great on you, but we're going to pay you $1 million. I don't know. I'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, so I just think, again, it just is kind of become, that's, you know, it's what it is. It's like anything. I don't think it's good or bad. It just is. It's kind of that's where it evolved to. And I think we're going to see a whole new evolution of how the red carpet and stuff works as we start to move out of the pandemic also.
And do you think that's the majority of red carpets now? Like the majority is probably paid?
Oh, no, 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 no. I think for huge, huge events, like the Oscars.
Right.
And things that's like that. And otherwise, no.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no. It really is stylists working with the designer and the celebrity, and it's about them trying things and picking what they love. No, no. That is certainly not the case. I would say, like, when you're around Golden Globe, SAG Awards, and Oscar, like, the trifecta, that's when that comes into play. Otherwise, really, no.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah,
the big award shows.
Yeah, but if, like, it's a movie premiere or a this or a that or this, no, it really is about the best dress.
That makes sense. But I agree with you. I mean, if you're, like, a J-Lo, I don't know why I keep going back to her, your option for $1 million is probably, like, many options. It's probably not, like, one. If you don't like the first one, there's probably a line of people that would dress you that are a lesser known name. So you could just keep going.
She is beautiful. She's beautiful.
Like, unnatural. Like, I don't get it.
She's, like, beautiful.
She's beautiful. I would agree.
Yeah.
What about, tell me about you dressing Delilah Bell Hamlin for the CFDAs. Of course, I have to go to Lisa Rinna and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So, Delilah Bell.
I love them both. Lisa and I are, she's probably a few years younger than me, but we're about the same. But years and years and years ago, when she was pregnant with her second daughter, Amelia, through my PR people and whatever, I had done a lot of knit jersey gowns. And so she was wearing them for events. And so that's how her and I started. And then, I met Delilah for the first time when she was probably 2 and a half. I went to Lisa's to fit her in a dress. And, like, I was hanging out with her two little daughters who were, like, I don't know, 1 and 3 years. And they were adorable. And then Delilah, something came up and something was talking about Delilah and da-da-da. And I'm like, you know, she's so beautiful. And I thought she'd be the perfect date for the CFDA. And so we got in touch and that's how that happened. And that was really her big first, I think, fashion red carpet. But she, I gotta tell you, she is so much fun. We had a blast.
Really?
Like, I love her. Oh my God. A blast.
Who got more drunk, you or her?
I plead the fifth.
Listen, I'm a girl that loves my liquor, so I'm no judgments.
No, I know. I don't know. But I do know that we were playing reality 3D virtual games where monsters were attacking us, and we were, it was a whole thing, but we had a great time.
Are you shocked? Like, when you look at some, you know, like, these kids, like, what, you know, like a Delilah Bell, like, they're huge models now.
You know, I think it's all, it's just whatever's happening at the world at the moment in culture, I think is what's happening. And that's who is influencing. I think social influencers and people are really, really huge and important now in the business. You know, you look back when we had the 90s, we had the supermodel. And I think every era or every death has their own kind of thing. I mean, people, if you look back at Kate Moss, everything was in a way, if you think, didn't make sense. She was 5'7½". Mm-hmm. She wasn't even, but she's a supermodel. So I don't think anything is necessarily good or bad. I just think that it's reflective of where the world is, what the people are responding to. And that really kind of influences and dictates what's happening.
That's a good point. You know, like, we did have the supermodels. That was the thing. They were in music videos. And right, like, Kate Moss wasn't the typical model.
No.
On paper.
I think now what I love, too, is we have such a more diverse culturally and ethnic mix of people. And I think that makes it much more interesting. And all kinds of people with great, interesting looks, and just not like that one cookie cutter stereotype look. I really do like that. And it's all of like the moment. It's like, you know, I love Alec Wet. I mean, an icon. I just think it all is reflective of what's happening in the world.
Speaking of your BFF, Lisa Rinna, or one of your friends, do you watch like shows like The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I watch sometimes. I don't watch like every week, but I certainly do watch and tune in and catch. And I'll like, I'm more of a surfer. I'm not a big keep my attention span for very long.
I get it.
So I'm always kind of at, but no, she's always been lovely to me. Well, when there used to be events or parties and stuff, and people would go out, I'll run into her or whatever, but she's great. And she's a lot of fun too.
Well, she seems a lot of fun. I mean, she's dancing tables at Andy Kahn's baby
shower. And I know that's what I believe. I believe tables were meant to dance on.
That's what you said.
I am dying for the day when I can go out and dance on a table again.
I've danced on a table or two back in my day in New York.
Oh, no, I still will. I still
really?
Will. I don't care. I have no pride, no shame.
I have no pride or shame. I just have, in my old age, I have like a fear of like, I'm going to fall off this table.
Okay, you're not that old.
No, so I'm not.
Let it go.
Just let it go. Listen, let me tell you something. If we're ever back into like socializing, I will dance on tables for months.
See? Yeah.
I mean, what about, so let's do, speaking of all these celebrities you've dressed, you mentioned Jane Fonda, let's do a quick rapid round. These are some of the names, like you've dressed some pretty major. Well, Jane Fonda was on my list, so let's start with her. Like, I mean, I guess you already kind of covered that, like gorgeous.
What I really, really love too about her, she kind of has shown people I don't even like the word older, but that you can be modern and glamorous and sexy and smart and relevant at any age. And she has shown that. And I think that's really important because I think a lot of people in this society have been taught, you know, if you're older than 28 and da da da, you can't be sexy, you can't be hot. And I say BS.
Yeah.
I just always point that. I'm like, excuse me, she's hot. She's sexier than a lot of 25-year-olds, so shut up.
I would agree with that. And Grace and Frankie, I mean, if you don't sit and watch TV, that's a great show, too. It's amazing.
I'm upset. I laugh. Like, I love that show.
It's like the casting. Like, it's phenomenal.
I'm going to be sad after their last season because it is, they're so good together, those two. And I just sit and laugh my ass off.
I mean, like, how lucky are we that we, like, for, what is it, 6 seasons, like, have, like, you know, you figure, like, people, shows come back, like, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, literally on our TVs. I mean, it's Netflix or whatever, but still, it's shocking. You're like, wait. And, like, to your point, it's amazing that, like, we're in a world that now actresses can work at these ages, and it's, like, the best TV possibly out there.
I think it's amazing. But I have one question. Have you watched Schitt's Creek?
Okay, so here's the thing. It's my type of show, but there's a few shows that I just didn't start at the beginning, but everybody tells me.
No, you must.
That's what I hear.
I fought it forever. And then in October, I binged all. I obsessed. You would love it. Obsessed.
Everybody is like, yeah, I know. It's just one of the ones. Do you know that I never watched Sex in the City?
And then one time, a night, I said, okay, we just got to do this. And amazing.
Isn't it like 6 seasons or something? I have to set aside a weekend.
It is so good.
All right, I'll add it. I mean, listen, we're not going anywhere. I don't know what I'm waiting for. Like, we're inside, sorry.
I know.
Speaking of sexy, what about Sofia Vergara?
She's like, I mean, she's beautiful. She is like the South American bombshell. She knows what works on her body. She knows what looks good. And she really knows how to wear it well.
She does. What about Pam Anderson?
Do you know Pam Anderson? And I've not met her.
Okay.
But she's had a whole, it's interesting, resurgence. And even Vogue follows her. And she's got this whole new thing with how she dresses and fashion. Because, you know, we all know she had that kind of Playboy bunny image and always very, you know, bare, you know, skin tight jeans.
Yeah.
Just all the, and she really stepped up her game in what she wears and wearing designers and kind of pulling it together. And she's actually, she's very pretty. And I think she's softened up quite a bit. So I think she did a really great kind of switcheroo.
She's like naturally pretty. Cause like she posts a lot lately with no makeup and you're
naturally
like,
pretty. And you know, yes, I think there's, you know, some people are just naturally beautiful and other people are pretty, but they look better with makeup. I mean, it's just whatever. But she really is one of those people that just looks really natural. She looks amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if you've met all these people just because you've dressed them, but like, what about like Deborah Messing?
I have not met her.
She's worn your stuff.
That was through a stylist. But I can tell you about someone who I do love, who I've
dressed.
Who? Sharon Stone.
She was, okay, so she was on the list. Tell me.
She is still, I would say, my most favorite person I've ever dressed. And she was one of the first. She is crazy smart.
Really?
And so smart. And she also started modeling in New York, but she understands clothes and she loves clothing. And she knows a lot of the tricks and what to do to work on her body. And it's like a real kind of interaction. And I learned a lot from her as well. And what I love about her too is, she's beautiful and her body's amazing, but she says too, there's two of her. There's Sharon, but she goes, and she always said this too, but then there's a switch. When the car door, the limo door opens and that foot comes out, Miss Stone is on the red carpet. And no one knows how to wear clothes or walk and work a red carpet like her. No one. I say that still. She could teach a lot of these young actresses a thing or two.
And what did she mean by that? Just like when she steps out of that limo?
I think it's an alter, you know, it's interesting. And you'll find it's hard to believe too. I'm actually shy. Now, you wouldn't get that impression.
No.
But I used to do that 2 years ago. Like, I knew if I walk into a room, I can't be this shy, whatever person. So I would flip the switch and David's here. But that's not, and I think it's the same thing for certain actors and actresses. You have to become this larger than life persona. So there's Sharon and there's Miss Stone. And Miss Stone works the red carpet. And I get that. You can't be this bigger than life. But I never forget when she said that, because it is. She knows how she gets out of the car. She knows how to deliver.
And she, to you, is like the best at working the red carpet ever.
I don't know about ever, but for how she really knows and understands and how to work clothing. And yeah, there is something about her, you know, all these other, they are beautiful too. You know, we have Charlize, there are a million people who are great and beautiful, but I still think there's something about Sharon Stone that she'll always probably be my favorite.
Fair enough.
I mean,
she's a good one.
And it's great. Interacting and working with her was great. I mean, we spent a lot of time together and she's so smart, not just in the world of fashion, but I mean like crazy smart. Like she's a member of Mensa.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Cause you said she's smart. Like she just is book smart. Like just knows things.
She's very smart.
Wow.
Very smart. Very talented.
Do you ever, because you know you're around all these people, you haven't met Cher yet, that may be a goal, but all these other people, do you ever get starstruck?
I don't. I mean, I think I've been around it so much and I've been to people's homes and everybody's just a person. Mm-hmm. And they just want to interact. And I think with a lot of people who are celebrities or famous, you know, they hang out with people who are also in the business because you don't get a minute's peace. Or, you know, I've had friends who have been chased by paparazzi and their cars are wrecked. And it's like, they really are just the same as anybody else and are cool and want to hang out. But I think there's a lot of people that are looking to take advantage of them or get something from them. So I think it's sometimes kind of sad that you have to really have walls up. The only time, I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but I will, because I don't care, that I was starstruck is several years ago, Alan produced a movie and his client was in it, Lara Croft with Angelina. And this was years ago, and I didn't go visit the set that time. And at the premiere, Alan's like, come on, I gotta go introduce you to Angie. And I'm like, huh? And I literally, when she in person, electricity shoots from her. I mean, I can't explain it. It's like electricity. And he introduces me and I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Like, I could not, and I'm like, wait. And then I tried to, I just lost it. I could not speak. And she just finally started laughing and she looked at Al and she goes, you got your hands full. But it's like, and I'm like, no, I'm not really like this. But it's, I mean, I was just like a blubbering idiot. It was humiliatingly embarrassing.
So she was in your husband's movie. Your husband brings you over, obviously. It's his movie. And you just couldn't say anything to Angie.
I did. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I tried. And nothing. Words didn't come right.
And she just stood there like, oh, my God, you have your hands full.
Like, where'd you find this one? Then it was just funny. But it's like, nothing. It was just, it was not one of my finer moments.
And she told your husband, honey, you've got your
hands full. She just laughed. She goes, you've got your hands full. And I tried to explain, I'm not really like this, but it was too late.
And she just radiated like something.
Oh. There is like an unearthly being. The energy, and I've only been around two people in my life like that, but it's the energy and the jolts. It's like, it's wild. There's something about her that was like, holy shit.
Wow.
That
is funny, actually. So there you go. I mean, listen, I think everyone, and you think if you met Cher, you might have the same reaction.
I may or I may not, because it wouldn't matter, because for her, I don't know. I just feel like I would love to have a drink with her just to hang and chat. But it's rare that you meet someone and I've never, like I said, twice in my life, I've had that experience where it's like electricity and jolts and it's weird.
Who was the other person besides Sharon Stone?
Gwyneth Paltrow. I was at an event in the south of France, and all of a sudden we were in this room at a cocktail party, and all of a sudden you felt like this jolt, and everybody kind of swung around, and there was tan Gwyneth in her, you know, her black leather Valentino gown, and it was like, whoa. It's also the place, the timing, the situation, and it's, you know what I mean? I don't think it's every day you would have that experience, but that would be the only other time that you really felt like electricity in the air.
Did you talk to Gwyneth?
Yes.
Yeah. And she was like lovely and nice.
Yes. Yeah. Very, 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 very. And well, her mother is lovely also.
Love a little Blythe Danner.
Lovely.
Well, that's, you know, there's all these, you know, listen, we all know how it works. A rumor starts and then it goes there. I mean, you know, people say Gwyneth is cold and goop and all this.
I think people who are in the public eye, listen, there are obviously some people are jerks. I just think it's very hard to judge someone by you interviewed someone once or you, I mean, you got, if unless you really know someone over a period of time, I don't think it's really fair to, you don't know, I mean, that person could have had the worst day of their life. Their uncle could have died yesterday. I mean, there's so many things you don't know when people are bashing people. And I always say, unless you get the full story, don't be so quick to judge. But when people are rude or nasty, but if people are rude and nasty and not considerate of people, then it's a different story for me. I think you always have to be kind to people. So, and if you really are having a bad day that you're going to be like really a nasty, just say, you know what, I'm having a really bad day. So if I bite your head off, it's not personal. Okay, all good.
So like announce that you're going to be nasty and then it's
different. If you're having a bad day and you know yourself and you tend to go that way, just say, you know what, having a really bad day. So if I come across so-and-so, you know what, it's not personal. I'm just having a sucky day.
That makes sense.
Because then it's like no hard feelings, no. But it's not because I'm an evil, rotten person to the core.
Totally. No, I mean, that makes sense to me. Have you ever met, like, or worked with celebrities that were just, you're like, oh my God, this person's, like, horrible?
Perhaps. I'm going to take the fifth on that one. Maybe you'll read it one day in my book. It's going to be called Under the Carpet.
That's a good one. I mean, I didn't think you were going to answer that question, but you know.
Yeah, you got to, you know what? You don't ask, you don't get. You never know.
You have to ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about, like, what is the whole relationship? Because you hear about this all the time, like, you know, with celebrities, like, wanting free stuff, borrowing something, returning the dress, it's stained, it's ruined. I mean, you hear that all the time.
I honestly have never gotten a dress back ruined and actually even stained. I actually have had very few nightmare issues. I really have. And usually what I will do, and if someone wears a gown or something to like a big event, like the Emmys or the Tony, I just gift it to them. I just am like, keep it. You know, they've worn it. No one's going to wear it again on the red carpet. And they obviously liked it enough that they chose it to wear. So I just usually say, keep it. But things I've never really, like sometimes you'll get a beaded thing back where some of the beads might have snagged and have to be repaired. But I have heard nightmare stories too, but I've never gotten anything back that's been like trashed.
That's good.
And things like trains, anything with a train, you just have to expect. When there's an event or an after party, you're going to get a train that's got a hole or it's almost impossible to navigate a room with a train.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's hard.
That's what about, like, you know, celebrities where, like, you'll be dealing with a stylist or them and you'll be 5 hours in, 5 weeks in or whatever, and then they'll be like, wait, you want us to pay for this? Because you hear about that all the time, too.
Oh, no. It's always been, I've never expected to be paid. It's just a mutual thing. Look, I'd love for you to wear the gown. I think it's great for you. I hope you love it. And if you wear it, great. I get the exposure and press. And if not, then it goes back in my archives or collection. Somebody might wear it in the future or they may not, but right. It's not about, a buying selling relationship, or it hasn't been for me.
What about on the red carpets? Because one person I think of when I think of her, I think of you, is Jane Lynch. She loves you.
Love her. Now she's fun. We had so much fun because I addressed her, and then she was doing hosting the Emmys, and we did like 4 or 5 looks. And then she had several other things that year, and we did more. She is just the coolest, funniest, most laid back, and fun, and she's not a fashionista. She wants to look great, and she's always like, whatever you think. Now, if she really hated something, she'd say, but she, you're in charge, whatever you think. But the joke was, when we're doing a first fitting once, she came out and I'm like, oh my God, you look sick. And she goes, oh. I'm like, no, Jane, you don't understand. Sick is like the highest compliment.
Right.
And she goes, oh. So, oh, she goes, I look sick. And, but she's really lovely. Like, I love working with her. She's great.
I mean, I feel like every time, you know, I mean, I don't pay attention every time, but I feel like 90% of the time I'm paying attention and someone's asking her who she wears, it's you.
She is great. Like, I don't have, I mean, she was just a blast and great. And I mean, great, great, great.
Do you ever work with a celebrity where you overhear something or they tell you something? And, you know, like, you can be trusted, of course. I mean, I hear a lot of shit from
right.
You know, and then, of course, you're not going to repeat it. But then, like, 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, it becomes, like, a big thing. You know, like.
Sometimes, yes. Yes, I do. And I just, yes. And it has. And it probably will continue to happen that way.
Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, of course, you're not going to say anything because, you know, that's just how it works.
Yes. Keep your mouth shut and listen.
Yeah. I'm like, listen, I enjoy hearing all this, so I ain't repeating it because I don't want to be cut off at the knees. I would like to.
Right?
That is what it is. It really is. You're like, what about, who do you think, so I guess, who do you think right now is like some of the best dressed out there? Like, I know you said, yeah.
That's I love Zoe Kravitz. I think she is so cool and modern and fresh. And she usually wears a lot of Saint Laurent. I'm trying to think last season. I think Charlize, I mean, she's like a glamazon. I think, like, she's 6 feet tall, flat foot. So you put her in a 5-inch heel and you got 6'5" of magnificence. I mean, stunning. Who else do I really think looks great?
Yeah.
We haven't had much happening lately. I think, you know, like, I think Nicole Kidman always nails it, always looks great and very high fashion. She wears clothes very well. I'm kind of caught for a blank. I mean, I always think Angelina looks great on a red carpet. You know, she has a very specific look. You know, I also actually, what I love too, like Jennifer Aniston she usually always wears black. And I kind of like that. It's always about a great, well-cut, something simple, black, and just very easy and modern. Like, I kind of like that.
Yeah, like, it's like effortless.
It's like, that's her thing, and it's effortless. Like, I don't want everyone to do that, because then I get bored. But for her, I like that that's her thing. And every once in a while, you get it mixed up with a shock of color or something. But I kind of dig that, too.
What about, like, who, you know, maybe needs some help from you?
I'm going to shut up.
Well, that wasn't even bad. Like, they just, you know, might need just a little help.
I would probably, actually, not even help. I would probably style some people a little differently. Like, I would maybe, like, I would probably even want to style Cher a little differently. Or I would probably want to, there are people like Olivia Colman. I may want to style her a little differently. Great actress. But I don't know that I agree with all the choices always. And I think the key, well, it's tough. You are so scrutinized on the red carpet, mm-hmm. and people are just looking for every flaw. And, you know, I know some stylists, they take a picture of the gown on a camera so they can see it on a screen. They take a picture outside because I've already seen gowns that look fine, but then you go in the sunlight and it's like you're naked. There's so many things that go into it. So sometimes I feel like it's a never winning battle for some of these people. And it is, people are really looking to criticize.
Yeah.
People aren't going in to be able to say, oh, you look fabulous. It's like a lot of times you feel like they're almost rooting for you to fail. Like you screwed up. You don't look gorgeous. So, you know, but I would work with anyone. And I'd always give someone my 2 cents.
How would you, and we have to get to your new collection on HSN.
Okay.
But I haven't forgotten that. But how would you dress Cher differently? Or how would you like to style her differently? I'm just so curious, being a huge Cher fan.
Oh, I think she is so cool. I would like it probably just a little sleeker. Mm-hmm. Little sleeker, still all black and whatever. Just a little sleeker and cleaner and a little less rockery. And just a little more, I don't want to say elegant, but just very pared down. Like maybe just like that really long sleeve black knit dress and a great fitted biker jacket and a pair of like killer pump. You know what I mean? Still her.
Yeah.
I would simplify a little.
I could see that.
But I would not change, like, I still like the rocker vibe. I would probably just do it a touch more lady.
I could see that.
As an evolution.
This is just a totally self-indulgent question. Have you ever met or do you have any interest in dressing Madonna? Because she's my other queen. I mean, she's gone a different way these days.
I have, actually, I have only met her briefly twice at her Oscar parties. So I don't know her. I know enough to say hello, and I've danced with her on the dance floor at her party. But
well, dancing with Madonna on the dance floor is pretty
good. That was kind of cool, though. That was kind of cool.
Is her Oscar party what I have heard that it is different tiers in, like, you know, the C-list can stay upstairs, the B-list maybe gets downstairs, the B-plus list goes to a back room, and then all the way in the vault is Madonna, and that's where the A-list is.
No.
Okay, that's what I've heard. I can tell you right now. Okay.
It was very egalitarian, or what is the word? No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, honestly, this is a quote I heard. It's out there somewhere from Neil Patrick Harris. He's like, I've never felt so insecure to, like, I swear it's out there. I'd have to Google it.
Well, trust
me,
I can only speak to mine. And the 2 times I've been there, no.
Total access to the queen, huh?
Well, yeah, I've not seen that. So I don't know.
Interesting. Okay, just, you know, I mean, you're sitting right here. I ask if you knew Madonna.
I mean, no, yeah, I have not experienced that.
What about, are there any men that you would like to dress, or any men you think are like the best dressed these days?
I really dig Brad Pitt. He'd be a cool one to dress. I think he looks great. I like his kind of style and his edge and his vibe. Who else would I love to dress as a guys?
Or someone whose style just like for me, it's like Timothy Chalamet. Like, I think his style
is
great.
Yes, okay. But you know what? He does himself even. He's got such a cool aesthetic and vibe and everything going on that it's like, yes, I love the way he dresses. I don't know that he needs much help, but yeah, like, he to me is kind of set a new accessibility or way of it being okay to look on a red carpet that is not your traditional way to dress for a guy. Because, I mean, honestly, after a while, I don't know how many black tuxedos one can look at. And I mean, it really comes down to a great fit and a great fit, because you're wearing a black suit.
Do you think that's, no, I mean, I agree. Do you think that's a mistake people make? Like you mentioned Jane Fonda, like you can be sexy at any age. Like, do you think a mistake people make is like either fit or being 80 years old, not age shaming? We should all live to 80 and beyond. But like, if you're an older, you know, you're older in the world and you try to dress like you're 19, like, is that a mistake that people make?
I think you need to be realistic and know what looks good on you. I mean, there are people who can wear almost anything still, like a Jane. Look, they have, I just think everybody knows what their limitations are, I think. Or not everyone, but like kind of knows this looks good, this works, that doesn't work. And I just think you have to be honest with yourself, because you don't want to call attention. I mean, you got to play up the good points, play down the bad points. So I just think you have to be realistic. And you can wear, there's always a way to wear a version of the vibe or whatever you're looking for that works for your body and for you. I mean, I've dressed people, I mean, I dressed Gabby Sidibe when she started. I mean, so, and, you know, it's, so it's really not number or size. It's just knowing what works and doesn't work for you, especially if you're in the public eye.
That makes sense. Like, just, no, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, because there are things, there are tricks. Think if certain things conceal this, or if you fit this that way. But I always say the most important thing about any garment, three things: fit, fit, fit. You could have a $20,000 couture gown, and if it doesn't fit well, looks like crap. You could take a $69 dress from somewhere, and if it is impeccably fitted and tailored to you, it can look like $1 million. It's always about fit. I'm a big believer in that.
You are. You think that's the most important thing.
Fit, 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 fit. Because if it doesn't look, if it doesn't fit, it looks like shit.
That's true. That's true. Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, if you gain a pound or two and like you're still trying to fit into the old size, you're like, you just, this is a disaster. Just own it. And
I mean, yes. And there's, you know, there's Spanx, there's Skims, there's so many quick fixes. And I always say, nobody needs to know what's going on under there.
Speaking of Skims, have you ever dressed a Kardashian? Has it, like, do the Kardashians, they ever worn you? I don't know.
Years ago, Kim wore a gown of mine, and Chris has worn some of my dresses also. But I do not, well, I do not know. I have met Chris several times. I like her very much. I think she's very smart. She's great.
I think Chris is very smart. I think she's
a genius.
I would agree. I mean, she's a genius.
Yeah.
We talk about someone who, you know, like needs to, you know, we talked in the beginning about the business sense of everything. Chris has got that down, huh?
Oh, yeah. One, two, three.
One, two, three. What about like the whole reality aspect of it? Like shows like Fashion, like Project Runway, you know, like Fashion Police, like.
Oh, Fashion Police. Joan Rivers was another one of my, like, I don't want to call her an icon, but.
Yeah, that's a good
when
word.
I was in college, you know, she had just started her own talk show on Fox, and I had done a series of evening gowns that were Beat It. And I sent her a slide saying, I would love, you know, because I just would put out a million things. I didn't care. And I sent her pictures. And, you know, it would be an honor if you would want to wear one of these. I'd be happy to send it to you, da, da, da. And she couldn't do that because she had a deal with a clothing company here, Eamon Wardy, which was a boutique. And, but she sent me a handwritten note. And it was the kindest, nicest note. And I still have it. And then, you know, then I've worked with her a couple times, you know, as I moved on in my career. And about maybe about 8 months before, you know, she had passed away, I spent a day with her filming stuff for Fashion Police. There is another truly good person. Like an amazing person. She really cares about people. She has no diva. I mean, it was really sad. I mean, she really, really was special. Like, really special. And that was really, really sad. Because she always was inquisitive. She cared about other people, what was going on with other people. She was kind. I mean, her daughter, lovely. I loved Joan. Joan was amazing.
Yeah. I have a friend who was friends with her and is friends with Melissa and just said the same thing, like handwritten notes for everything. We used to go to her house, like he didn't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving. Was that part of her infamous Thanksgiving? And it's just like, I've met her before, just, you know, not like you, just in passing, but she's an icon.
And it was long. That day we were there, for like 8 or 10 hours. And, but she's the kind of person that, like, she didn't go into her own makeup room. She came and she said, I'm going to sit right out here with you and we can sit here and chat while they're trying to fix this. And, you know, it's like, but she did. She always asks about other people and wants to know about other people and very inquisitive. And I've had several interactions and workings with her. And all I can say is lovely. Like, she's sorely missed.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about someone like age doesn't matter. Like she had her finger on the pulse of current pop culture.
Oh.
More so than all these influencers. And she knew what was going on. She was so current.
That's what I like. Because I'm the same way. If I don't know I like to know a lot in terms of like what's happening in the world now. And if somebody says something and I haven't heard about it, I'm like, what? Like I almost get a little upset with myself. Like, how did that happen without me knowing? And that she was like that too. But I think one of the things that keep people young and moving and is that they're interested and they want to know everything. Like, I want to know everything.
Yeah.
And I think that really is what, again, that in a way is what keeps people vital and young and interesting. And because, you know what, I don't know what getting old means because I'm not going to wake up one day and, you know, sit, I don't know, watching TV for 24 hours, wearing my elastic waistband. I'm just not. I gotta be out and know and see and do. And I don't know.
I get it. Well, I mean, I now understand what they say when they say the way you get old is when you stop moving. Like now that we've been trapped in, like I get it. I too will never be that person. It's just not in my nature. And I'm not saying that I like a lot of current music. I don't like most of it, but
I don't have to listen to it. I just need to know about it.
Yeah. Like I'll always be, cause you know, like you just have friends and you're like, they don't really know certain things. And you're just like, I'm just not that person. I'll always know what's going on with the current pop culture and in the world of technology, entertainment. It's just, I agree. And I will always be one of those people on the move. It's just,
And I actually am glad I'm like that.
Me too.
But I don't like it when people don't want to know or they're like, oh, but I don't want to know. I don't want to. Why don't you want to know?
Yeah.
The world's moving. Come on. You either got to keep up or you're going to be left behind.
Well, yeah. And I always say like, look, like I don't make the rules. I would rather be, you know, surrounded by Diana Ross and Joan and Donna Summer. Like I wish we could go back, but that's like,
I know,
but these
I
are
know.
Not, I mean, I, it's not up to me. So as
like
the world
Diana
is
Ross
changed,
singing Chain Reaction and her Beat It Down. It's like, yes, but that's over.
Right. Like people want to talk about, you know, Dua Lipa and Ariana Grande. And so this is just what it is. It's bigger than you. You're never gonna go back. So just give up and focus.
And you don't.
On
you know what? Everyone I think thinks at certain points, oh, if we could go back. But the sad reality is, if you could go back, it's not going to be the same. It would even seem tired and over to us.
Yeah.
We just build it up in our minds. Like, we really don't want to go back there.
No.
Because it's that moment's never going to be the same.
No. You know, you can be nostalgic and then move on. That's the other thing, too. I'll never be one of those people that, like, because I have people like this in my life. No, where, like, they'll look back and it's just like, yeah, like, maybe you were at the height of your career, the height of your looks or whatever it is. But you talk about it, like, with the sadness, like, almost like, you're proving of what you were. I'll never be that person. It was like, I was there then and I'm here now. One is not better than the other. Like,
they're just different.
Yeah. But you know when people will talk about like, well, I did this and yeah, like that's just like the trajectory of your career. Like you're working your way up in your 20s and 30s. You're at the top at whatever, 40s. And then eventually you start to come down a little bit, which is okay.
But then you know what? But you never know. Then all of a sudden people
go
way up again. It's like, we don't know.
Yeah, like I'm just never one to look back and be sad about like, oh, let me tell you what my life used to be. Ugh, I hate that type of talk.
I mean, no, I kind of more interested in that, what's now.
Me too.
You can give me a few tidbits about the past, but I'd like to know what's now and what are you doing going forward or what, totally.
What about like a Project Runway? Like, you know, if I think about Project Runway, I think one thing, Christian Siriano. One made success. Yeah, like of course, because of what I do for a living, I can name lots of other people from Project Runway, but I'm not so sure a lot of people could. Like, do these shows not work anymore? Is it too saturated?
I don't know. I mean, but you are right. He is the one person that comes to mind. And it's sort of like even with American Idol, Kelly Clarkson. Who I actually love.
Love.
I love her voice. She is American Idol. And the only other there are two other people that I can name that were on that show. Carrie Underwood and Catherine McPhee. But other than that, I don't know any. I can't. So I don't know that they work as a star-making vehicle for a limited number of people. I think what the shows really do and what people really enjoy is they feel like they're seeing the behind the scenes and what goes into something, and they may root for someone, but then it kind of like, there's a winner and it ends. I don't know that it's really, it's set up. I think it's more of designed for the audience. It's something to learn and follow and see behind the scenes, more so than it's set up to be a star maker vehicle. I think you're going to get some stars as a result of it naturally. But I agree with what you're saying, though. And I do think maybe at a certain point we are getting a little oversaturated. I just think we are. Or how do we do that in a different way, because it's been done, it's been going for like 12 years or 13 years. Maybe it's time to still do it, but how do we mix it up or kind of screw it up a little bit to make it more interesting and relevant for now?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've lost interest in those shows, because I'm just like, it's a show and it's interesting, but this is not going to go anywhere. And speaking of Carrie, I had someone who used to be on American Idol on this show, and I said the same thing, like, are you jealous? Are other people jealous? It's Carrie and Kelly. And if you think about The Voice, I can't name one person from The Voice. I'm sure other people listening to this could. I can't name anyone from The
Voice.
You
know what? I can't either. I can't.
I can name, you know, Gwen Stefani, the judge, and Blake Shelton.
Oh, I can name the judge. Oh, yeah. Come on,
that. I know. But who from The Voice? I mean, I had someone on from The Voice on my show. So once you sit and chat with me like this, I'll remember you for the rest of my life. Short of that, I have no idea of anyone. So I just, just curious about what you thought about shows like that.
Yeah. I think probably a little shakeup, but I really think they aren't designed to be star makers as much as get people invested in rooting and tuning in and that kind of thing.
That makes sense. So, all right, talk to me, because you've really been very gracious with answering all of my celebrity questions. So talk to me about your new collection on HSN. It's all about you now.
Oh, my God. Well, we're really excited. HSN, it's David Meister, and it's a lifestyle collection. So it's everything from jackets to sweaters to pants to dresses to coats, all items of clothing. It's priced all under $100.
Oh, wow.
We'll be doing, and it's all, like, you know, it's color, it's cool shapes, it's, and there's always a touch of drama. My clothes are always going to have interesting shape or some kind of sense of drama because it's just kind of innate to who I am and how I design. But we're really excited. We're going to launch early March. The first collection has 12 pieces, and then I'll be airing every month with a new collection. So we're really, really excited about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
How did this come about? Like, it's great. Like, is it related to COVID at all? Like, has the world of fashion changed? I mean, it obviously has because of COVID.
It has. And what's really great, I mean, the online retailers, HSN, have been doing amazingly well, just as brands online have, because people more and more are shopping from home. So it's a great platform to be involved with now. And I think more and more that's how people are shopping. They're shopping. They can either watch live when we're doing the show, and then, or they can go to the website and order it whenever they feel the need. But what I love about HSN is, I mean, they're great. They're so professional. But also, I design it, and I'm involved with the company and the buyers. But then I get to go on TV and help sell it. Because, like, I love doing that.
You do.
I love to help sell. Like, I want to sell it. I want to tell you why I love it and why you got to have this and why I think this is great. And maybe you should take this and not that one. But, like, that to me is fun. Like, I love it. Interacting with the customer, and, you know, so for me, it's the best of both worlds. I get to interact with a lot of people, and I also am designing. So it's the two things that I love doing.
And in a way, like, who better to sell the clothes than the person who designed them and understands the story behind them?
I mean, I couldn't agree more. And HSN gives you the perfect platform for that. And so I'm really psyched. It's been in work for about 9 months. So the launch is getting very close. And I can't wait.
And a new collection every month. So that's exciting.
We're going to have a new delivery, a new capsule collection every month. Yeah. So you'll be seeing a lot of me.
Well, that's okay. We'll see. You're excited to go on HSN because you love interacting with people, but yet you're shy, according to you.
But you know what? I am shy. I've never been shy if I had to do something for work or walk into a room of executives, or I'm the kind of person that's shy if I get invited to a friend's party and there's 20 people and I don't know anyone.
Really? Wow. Yes. Yeah, like, I would not think that.
I'm being honest, it's very hard for me to go up and talk to someone.
Really?
If you take me into a world of executives or a this or that, and it's, then I kind of become like, I was telling you, Sharon and Miss Stone. Then David the designer is here, okay? And it's like, so there's like two of me.
What's your sign?
My sign? I'm a Pisces, but only 2 days in, so I have a lot of Aquarius.
Okay, just curious.
So, I mean, people don't believe it, and I never come across that way, but I am shy in situations like that. It's very hard. Otherwise, like talking with you, or if I'm out, it could be a party with 300 people. And if it's like an event or an Oscar party, like, I'm fine. But smaller level, it's tough.
But yet you weren't shy to dance with Madonna at her Oscars party.
No. I mean, I probably had a few cocktails.
That would send me into a cardiac arrest, and I would have to be rushed to the hospital. I would literally be dead upon arrival. I mean, there would be no coming back from that.
Oh my God.
What about, well, did you get any advice from your QVC buddy, Miss Lisa Rinna? I mean, she's the queen of QVC. Even though this is HSN.
They're owned by the same parent company. You know, I think Lisa, with everything she does, she feels strongly about it and is passionate about it, but she always make sure she's having fun doing it. And she does what she believes and thinks will work the best. So I just think, and it's be yourself. But I think the biggest thing is the sense of fun and not taking yourself too seriously. Because I like to have fun and I never take myself that seriously. I just don't. I love what I do, but you got to have fun. And I'm the first one. I would say if you make fun of yourself, then you can start making fun of other people. But you got to make fun of yourself first. And I am happy to make fun of myself.
I agree with that too. I agree. I mean, I like a little bit of self-deprecation every now and then. I think there's nothing wrong
with
that.
And not even in a negative way.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? I'll throw the first brick. I can make, I have no, what do I care?
Yeah, that's how I feel. What about, you know, speaking of COVID, like has, like not the business of fashion, but like has fashion changed? Like, are we going to be seeing, you know, like designer sweats or loose fitting things? Like, is the style really just shifting before our eyes without us realizing it?
I think we have definitely seen a very kind of athleisure, casual, relaxed, because people have been at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a friend who usually wears sky-high heels. She said she doesn't know what she's going to do when this is over because her feet are baby soft. There are no more calluses built in, no anything. She goes, it's going to be, and I said, those calluses will come back 1, 2, 3. But I think it's going to start changing. It's still going to want to be comfort, but I think people are going to want a little more glam, a little more sense of polish. Because I think at a certain point, everyone is getting tired of wearing the same thing. And I do think when this is done, and let's say the world is back to pseudo normal, where you could go to a restaurant or you could go to a bar and you can be out socially, I think we're going to see kind of a backswing. I don't want to call it like to the 1920s, but I think it's going to be over the top and people are going to want to get so dressed and so, because they're so over it. Like, I think we're going to see a swing the other way.
Really?
And I hope so. Yeah. Because I think everybody, I'm so tired of wearing t-shirts and my whatever, Rick Owen shorts or and Birkenstocks. Like, I've worn them every day now for 10 months. Like, I want to go out and get dressed up. And I think once people feel comfortable and safe and there is a return to a sense of normalcy, I think people are going to really start to want to get dressed up.
Interesting. I mean, I would love that too.
I think we're going to see that. I do.
And just like luxury upon style upon more style. Just
over the top, so in your face that you just can't be any more styled or polished. Because, you know, we're all tired of looking. I want to see glamour. Glamour, glamour, glamour.
Yeah.
And I was joking the other day, and it's not really funny, but, you know, I'm sure the lipstick business has taken a hit, because what woman wears lipstick? You can't. You're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, no one wears lipstick. And I understand, because you're just going to smirch it up.
Well, same thing with clothing. I mean, I've never not shopped. I mean, I have friends that are doubling down on shopping just because they're home and online shopping. I'm just the opposite. I'm just like to you, like, what does it matter? Like, I'm just in sweats. Like, when am I?
Oh, no, I've bought a few things that are in the closet just waiting.
I bought a few things. But
to come out, literally come out. Listen, I found my way out of closet. They will find their way out of that closet. If I have to put them on and just walk around my house.
You could do that.
I know, but it's no fun.
No,
I like to be
no
in groups of dressed up people.
I like your prediction though, that we're all going to be over the top. I'm all
I
for
think
that.
People are going to be just aching to get, you know, more dressed up. And because I mean, and I think dresses and skirts then will probably become a little more important too, because most women, you know, it's almost something new and fresh. They haven't worn one in a while. And even a suit on a man or a blazer, most men haven't worn one in a year. It almost becomes like an interesting novel idea because you haven't done it in so long.
Totally. And hopefully no mask. Hopefully.
Oh, no. No mask.
To your point about lipstick, I didn't think of that. When I had Melissa Rivers on this podcast, I asked her, how would Joan feel about this and masks? And she's like, are you kidding me? My mother would love it. She's like, the mask would hide all the plastic surgery. And I'm like, good point.
You could heal underneath, right?
Right. She's like, my mother would love it.
One less application of something. It cuts down the makeup time.
I was like, but you're right. Lipstick is probably on the decline.
Oh, it's, you know, yeah. I think fashion and everything from music is all influenced by whatever's going on in the world and by the economy and global situation. And you can break it down into any category. And there is an impact on everything in the world by this pandemic. And even down to lipstick.
I didn't think of that. What about everything going on in the fashion, but you know, like this whole thing now with like Alexander Wang, and there's the claiming of these Me Too movements, you know, and then like there's, you know, like now there's all these things like, oh, this has been going on with models for years and years. No one's talking about, like, what do you think of that?
I think probably the Me Too movement, I think there it's in every industry and business, I am sure it has been going on. I think what's brought it to prominence and given it a voice is the fact that famous people or celebrities were the first to speak out. And just by the nature of being a celebrity or in the public eye like that, you are given a platform where you're allowed to be heard and speak. I think it's sad that so many people who are just your normal average day worker, and I'm sure it's happened to millions of them, they really don't have a platform to speak. So I do think it's a good thing. I think, I don't know anything about the Alexander Wang situation, except that I've heard of it. So I can't really comment specifically on that. But I do believe anybody who speaks up, they should always be heard and listened to. And look, do I think 100% of everybody who comes forward, I think there's always some people who are not authentic and they're doing it for attention. But I would say by far the majority, anybody who comes forward and puts himself and exposes himself that much, there's got to be some truth to it. I just think it's a sad situation because, you know, I personally don't understand how someone can prey on someone like that. I'm not naive, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't understand. How can you be that gross to someone? I don't understand that. I just don't.
Well, that makes you a nice, kind human being.
And I guess I don't understand how people aren't kind. That's always been a mystery to me. I mean, you can have, but like, when you hear about evil, nasty people, I'm like, wow. Like, wow. That always blows me away. But I do think the Me Too movement is good because it's brought attention and allowed people and a lot of companies and corporations to be much more mindful and give people a chance if they really are being abused or harassed that they can go to someone or speak up and not have to fear about losing their job or their livelihood. So from that standpoint, I think it's great. That's an instance where celebrities take their voice and their power and their influence, and they've really done something and used it for the good.
That's true. But I
think anybody who has a voice and can use it in a powerful or influential way for the good, I think you kind of owe that to the universe.
Yeah.
If you can do help someone by speaking and using your platform, I think you've been given the gift of being given that platform and you need to use it.
I would agree with that.
So.
Yeah. And I don't really know enough about it either. It's just one of these things like now that it's out there, you're just kind of like, oh, well, this makes sense you know, not make sense, but like in the modeling, you know, not to be stereotypical, female, you would just think it's prevalent.
And there were, you know, like, there were two photographers a few years ago, and I am blanking on their names, very famous. They were both charged, or not charged, but
yeah, I think
were made by models, and I'm blanking on. So, but I would say, but in like high profile industries, I think that's what's going to be talked about the most. But where I think it happens even more so are the industries we're never going to talk about. Like, what about the union of housekeepers for hotels across the country and the people who are making, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like nobody wants, there's no glamour attached to it. Not that there's glamour about any of this, but that's what's not talked about enough.
Right.
I think. And so, but I think it needs to be talked about. I think it does need to be addressed because it's never okay. It's just never okay.
No, and I think Bruce Weber was one of those photographers, I think.
You're right, I think you are.
I think that's one of them.
I'm usually pretty good with remembering, but
yeah,
I'm
blanking. It was another famous photographer. I can't remember.
There were two about the same time.
Totally.
Yes.
Well, what is next for you besides staying home, Birkenstocks, shorts, with your husband in LA, almost
and my
maybe,
doggy.
And your dog, and wearing your sweats, and maybe walking around with your new stuff in your
boy,
closet?
Boy, I sound like a hot date, don't I?
Well, listen, you're keeping yourself busy with HSN. I mean, with a different collection every month. Other than that, what is?
We're going to go with global domination.
That's good. That's a good one.
Global domination.
That's a good one. I was going to say, and mind you, I'm not turning my nose up at HSN.
HSN is amazing. It's great. I love it. And, you know, that can expand into a million things. And I always say, you never know. And I never, like I told you, I never say no.
I love it. I have to, well, and also before we go, is there anything else that we didn't cover? Like anything else? I like to give people a chance at the end. You know, I've had my own agenda this whole time. So, you know, you tell me what I didn't bring up if you feel anything.
I think, no, this was good.
We had fun, right?
It was great. Very, very chill.
I really appreciate you coming on. I know you're busy.
This was great.
You can come back.
This was great.
You'll come back and chat.
Yeah, we can. I'll come back and chitty chat.
The next time I'm out in LA, when the world opens, I'll look you guys up.
Oh, let me know. We can have it. I would love to get together. We could actually go sit somewhere and have a drink in public with no mask. Can you? I know. It's a little overwhelming to think about.
It's like, I mean, yeah, New York is just as bad. We are in. You can get delivery. The thing in New York is it's different because there's outside seating. Every time I see someplace I walk by, I'm like, oh my God, like maybe I'm the idiot missing out on life. And then you walk by and you're like, they're sitting there with 16 coats on. Like, I'm not going to eat outside in 20 degree. It's freezing in New York City, freezing. So I don't understand. There are people in New York that are eating out. I mean, I could show you pictures. There's like snow coming down. You're sitting there freezing, sipping your martini. I'm like, go to someone's apartment. Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it. And here the weather's beautiful, but we haven't had outside dining even since October.
I know.
There's just take. I mean, so it's,
Listen, we will go for a drink when I'm there or you're in New York. It will be.
Absolutely. But this was great.
I appreciate it. Tell everyone where they can find you online.
You can find me at davidmeister.com. And that is my website.
And what about Instagram? You're on Instagram.
Instagram is, and it's. Oh, I am so bad with this.
I'm gonna put it in the notes.
Put it up.
Anyway.
Oh my God, I'm so bad. There, people are gonna be. It's _ David Meister, I believe.
Let me see.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Now it's. Listen, we all. You're a normal person who's not on Instagram 24 hours a day like me. So, it is David. _ Meister.
David _ Meister. I was testing you. I really knew that the whole time.
Did
I was
you?
Testing you?
Well, I'm here right now.
Good job.
David _ Meister. Everyone needs to follow you. Everyone needs to check you out on HSN.
Yes, please. and check out March 11th. You can check your listings on HSN. I don't have the time yet, but March 11th is the major launch. We're going to do a soft launch on February 25th, but the whole collection launch will be March 11th.
I love it. All right, you'll like have to come back on. So
absolutely. It was so much fun.
Thank you, and have a great day, and keep in touch.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.